Over the years, the souls that have been saved, the lives have been changed, the missionaries have been sent out, what God has done through His great work that He established, the local New Testament church. We appreciate so much what God is doing in this place. Thank you again, church, for loaning us your pastor and his wife to come and minister with us there at the college on the campus. We appreciate so much the sacrifice of this church, your prayer support, and maybe even hoping someday that many students might come to the college from this church right here in Wilmington. You never know what God can do. If you'll be faithful to the things of the Lord, God can open up the hearts of His people. And even young people and even older young people sometimes make their way to the campus. And we thank the Lord for what God is doing in people's lives. We're glad to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible today, I'm going to ask you if you would to turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to be reading the first 10 verses of 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'd ask if you would, if you're able this morning, would you stand in honor of God's Word? As I read here from 2 Peter chapter number 1, I'll read aloud, ask you to follow along, if you would please, going down through verse number 10. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. As we think about these words this morning, I'd like to draw our attention to this passage and preach on this subject, our spiritual life with God. Our spiritual life with God. We understand that we all have physical life, but we also have spiritual life. Will that spiritual life take us into fellowship with God or separation from God? We are dead spiritually until we're made alive in Christ. So for a few moments, I'd like to spend our attention talking about our spiritual life in God. May God bless the reading of His Word. I ask you to be seated this time. If you've been around church any length of time, or you've studied the Word of God, or been in the house of God and listened to preaching of your pastor or other servants of God, you'll understand that 1 and 2 Peter are distinct in two ways. 1 Peter, of course, tries to encourage the believer to remain steadfast in times of persecution. But in 2 Peter, we find Peter, the servant of the Lord, an apostle of Jesus Christ, trying to remind them to be steadfast among false teachers, understanding that there are people that will try to twist and distort the Word of God and take it away from the heritage of its moorings. Now, thank God that for 77 years, Calvary Baptist Church has been faithful to the Word of God. I've not been here myself those years, but we thank the Lord that you have the heritage that you do this morning as you gather together as servants of the Lord. So we find the Apostle Peter now writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God among times of great persecution under Nero, according to history. We know that great persecution has come to the people of God, and yet they're still standing for the Lord and standing for that which is right. As the young people sang this morning, you need to so much the more as we see the day approaching of catastrophe in the house of God and our country seeming to go apart and not being drawn together, we need to realize that our hope is in God. Our trust is in the Lord. And Peter tries to admonish these servants of God in looking at that which is accurate and true and appropriate. And realize if you know who you are in Christ, then you'll understand that the Antichrist and those that are not in Christ are totally different. So I'd like to draw our attention this morning to 2 Peter chapter number 1 and show you basically three things this morning. Number one, the beginning of spiritual life. the beginning of spiritual life. Look at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you look here, Peter begins this letter with a standard introduction. He talks about the idea of him being a servant in Jesus Christ, but he also says he's an apostle. Now, not everyone in the room this morning is going to have the same opportunity to minister in the service of God like we find the apostle Peter did. We know he was one of the original 12 apostles. You understand that, right? He's one of the original 12 apostles, and he was chosen out by God. He did not try to merit that himself. This was chosen by the Master, chosen by the Savior as a servant of God. Along the way of life, God chooses out men and ladies to be involved in His service. We all can be involved in different ways in the ministry of the Lord. Sometimes He even calls out men of God to be pastors, to be involved in leadership, some to be a missionary or an evangelist, or be involved on staff somewhere, pastor, trying to assist pastors like you in the ministry, whether it be in a music ministry, a bus ministry, a teaching ministry, a Christian school ministry, youth ministry. There's many ways you can be connected to the work of the Lord. But in Sunday school, I reminded us that we are all vital links to the ministry of His church, right? He's the one that established the church. He's the one that enables the church. He's the one that empowers the church with His Holy Spirit, indwelling in the believer and the Word of God to help us to be instructed to go the right path. So the beginning of our spiritual life is found in God. We look here and we see that the Bible says that we need to see verse 1's declaration. We have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God. So there's a reception involved here of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you obtain something, that means you receive it. It's been given unto you. There's nothing we can do, Brother Jeff, to remind us that we have done something to merit salvation. We know that it is God Himself that sent His only begotten Son into the world for one purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many." So we find that Peter is relating to us that we have obtained righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. I said this morning in Sunday school in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through what? And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now listen, friends, if it was true you could get saved by joining a church, there'd been no reason for Christ to come. If it's true you could be saved by doing good works, there'd be no reason for Christ to come. If it's true you could be saved by doing wonderful deeds and wonderful miracles, then there'd be no reason for Christ to come. But we have to understand this morning, we obtain righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. We've been imputed the righteousness of God. It's been reckoned to our account. And we thank the Lord for that. So we receive to them who have obtained like precious faith. We obtain something apart from personal merit or effort. It's given to us by the grace of God. But he goes on to say that in verse number 1, that this righteousness is imputed to us. Simon Peter was a servant of God. He was being faithful to the Lord. And even though we're not perfect yet, God still has a plan for us in our lives. But he says, "I've chosen you to be a servant to me." 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said it like this in verse 21. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he that made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So it's God that declares us righteous. We don't deserve it, but he declares us righteous. We've been imputed the righteousness of God. In the book of Philippians, Paul wrote in chapter number 3, he says, "We are to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Make no mistake about it, my friend. We are declared righteous by God. He imputes that righteousness to us. If we are saved today, we are saved by the grace of God. We've accepted the gift of God and eternal life through him. So that shows us how we begin our spiritual life. Verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." There was a time in my life and a time in your life we didn't even know who God was. We had no knowledge of God. We had no words of God presented to us. And somebody came along and presented the gospel to us. Somebody gave us the truth of God. and we begin to understand the basics of spiritual life. We understand the basics of who God is and the Word of God, how important it is. And by the way, when you got saved, you probably had no desire for church, no desire for preachers or the spiritual things of God. But when the Holy Ghost of God takes residence in the believer, that changes everything. We have a new hitching post, amen? We now want to hitch up ourselves to the house of God, to the things of the Lord, to the Word of God, and find instruction from Him. So the righteousness of God is imputed, but we find the spiritual life of God is provided for us by the Lord. He gives us grace and peace. Look at it again in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Aren't you glad today you know more about God now than you did when you first got saved? And that's because you've studied the Word of God, you've read the Word of God, you've been under the teaching of the Word of God, under the preaching of the Word of God, and you've read books perhaps about the Word of God, you've read commentaries about the Word of God, you've read something that kind of has drawn you into the things of the Lord. And you ought to be grateful for that. But it says, the provision of God is given to us. You see, grace is basically two prongs. It's unmerited favor, no doubt. But that unmerited favor gives us God's divine enablement. It is God who enables us to understand, is who enables us to have this favor given to us. The unmerited favor of God, as He lavishly places it upon us. And as He does that, my friend, He enables us to be able to know about Him, to learn about Him, to be faithful to Him. He helps us to make those decisions. Exodus 33:17, here's what it says about Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. Listen, Moses knew the divine favor of God. He knew the enabling of God because the grace of God was manifest in Moses' life. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul prayed that God would take away his thorn in the flesh. Whatever that thorn in the flesh was, I personally believe it was his eyesight, having issues there. But whatever it was, we understand that he prayed to God three times that God would get rid of it, that God would take it away. And here's God's response in verse number 9. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, Paul knew the divine enablement of God. It was God that enabled him to have the strength to go on. It's called the grace of God. When you and I face issues of life, when we face sorrows and trials and heartaches and disease and devastation and disappointment and disillusionment and things don't go the way that we plan or the way we think they ought to go, guess who we trust in? God. And God offers grace to us. The unmerited favor and enablement of God is given to every man, woman, and boy and girl that knows the Lord Jesus Christ. So He relates that to us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know thy thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And we made our way here yesterday. And we had the address. We punched it into the GPS. And sure enough, the church is here. It wasn't make-believe. Now, I've been here before, obviously, but these young people have not. And so it's their first experience of being here in your church. And we like every experience to be a pleasant experience, amen? Wouldn't it be sad if we'd have pulled up here and said, they used to have a church here. It's not here anymore. I'm glad we can say you're celebrating your 77th anniversary. That God has done a work. The grace of God has been multiplied. The grace of God's been manifest into people's lives. Romans 14, verse 17, Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm excited about being here today. I hope that you are too. Now I know, listen, whether I'm preaching or not preaching, I'm still excited about being saved. Whether I'm going to eat your chili or not eat your chili, I'm still going to eat lunch. Amen? Now, I don't want to offend you in any way, but I want you to have peace in your heart and joy in your heart and knowing that if you're saved by the grace of God, it's God that has begun that work in you. He wants to bestow His great power in your life, but He says, I want to give you grace and peace and I want to multiply it. Not just say that I'm saved. He wants to do something wonderful in our lives. Grace and peace be multiplied. It said, how do we get this multiplied? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That means God wants to give us more knowledge. He wants to help us to understand Him. He wants us to know who He is. He wants us to understand that He can help us to know about who He is and how He works and how He labors and how He'll give to us great benefit and blessing. He'll talk about the spiritual gifts. He'll talk about the Word of God. You say, how do you know about God? Well, you have a preacher that talks about Him. You have a Bible you can read that shares God with you. You have a time you can pray and commune with Him and have access to God and learn about the things of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I can prove it to you. Look at verse number 3. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power, it is God that has given us something. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God is saying, I expect you to grow up in grace. I expect you to multiply in peace. I expect you to see the hand of God's blessing. I expect you to understand who I am when you face adversity and trouble. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore go boldly to the throne of grace. You can find mercy and grace and help in time of need. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How can you know who God is? How can you know about his church? How can you know about his word? He gave us his word. Verse 4 goes on to say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You know what he's saying? I gave you the Bible. I gave you my precious promises. The Old Testament, the New Testament. I gave you the Word of God so you can know me. You can know me. You can know the way I love, the way I work, the way that I labor. Listen, you know what the world needs? They need to know him. The only way they can know him is we that know him share him. May God help us to live out our testimony of Christ. May God help us to be faithful to the work of the Lord. He has given us the basics for salvation. He's given us that bestowal of salvation, and he gave us the Word of God. He furnished us with the plan to grow in grace and knowledge, the plan to have peace being multiplied. The divine nature that lives in me and in you was given to us by God. We've been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're not going to heaven because we're a member of this church. We're going to heaven because we're saved and we're growing in grace. That's why we're a member. That's why we're here, to learn more about the Bible, to learn about God's Word. We're never going to understand it all, but we do understand we ought to apply to our lives. So the bestowal of spiritual life is given to us. My wife and I sometimes will go out and we'll visit for our Sunday school class, obviously, and we'll sometimes knock on doors and do the newcomers and new move-ins in our area. We have cards that will come out. And there was a time that we had had a church started 10 years ago up in Edmond, Lighthouse Baptist Church. You might remember Brother Bruss Bishop starting that church up there. They celebrated 10 years this year, and the hand of God working. And so we had an opportunity to witness and minister for them with some new move-ins in the Edmond area. And so we made our way there, and as we got to this house, it was really exciting to see what was going on. These beautiful homes in this beautiful area. We had like three or four new homes and new move-ins in that area. But I went up to the door and began to talk with them, and they were transplants from California. They had moved from California before the time period of the 2000, 2008, 2009 issue there with the financial structure of the country and all that, you know, the so-called not recession. I think you understand what I'm saying there. So they sold their homes in California and moved to Oklahoma. And the lady that I talked to at the first door, she said, you know, I sold my home in California. I came here. I paid cash for this house. And I have money left over. Because I sold my house in California, and she bought a big house, 4,000 some square feet there in that neighborhood. And she said she paid cash for it. I'm thinking, man, I wish I could do that. But Brother Jeff, when she told me that, she said, now, suffice to say, she says, I haven't put anything here yet. And here we are in a new move-in. They've been there a couple months. They had the few necessities that were needed, but their house was empty. I mean, a big, giant, beautiful home. Brother Murdoch, it was beautiful. I mean, granite work and tile work and beautiful facility and wood everywhere. I mean, just beautiful. It's gorgeous. No furniture. Just what was needed. But she said, we're going to furnish it because we have some money left over. You know what God wants to do? He wants to say to you, you're saved. I've given you my divine nature. I've imputed righteousness to you, but don't stop there. I want to furnish something for you. I want to fill the house, if you'll let me say it like that. I want to help you to know that I have furnished you some things that will help you to know more about me. You'll have the knowledge of me. You can love me and serve me. It won't be about you. It'll be about him. Now, I'm not saying that anybody would make it about me or about you, but we do live in a selfish society. You ever tried driving on the highway? People do what they want to do. They have their own desires being manifest. Well, he's trying to show us here, I have bestowed upon you the furnishings of this great bestowal. We are granted, beloved, his divine power. It is God who enables us to know his word, to help us to grow in grace and in knowledge by giving us the Holy Spirit of God. We have God living in it. If you're saved today, God lives in you. And he says, I want to teach you and guide you and lead you into all truth. He wants us to have this great knowledge. 1 Corinthians 6:14, Paul said, and God hath both raised up the Lord
and will also raise us up by His own power. We've been resurrected spiritually from the dead. We were dead in trespass and in sin, but we're made alive in Christ Jesus. What a blessing to know this furnishing. We're granted not only that, but it says here we've been given, He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Just like that lady up there had no furnishing in her home, she had the capability. She had extra money. She was going to get some furnishings, but it was empty. When I first got saved, I knew nothing about the Bible, but I know more now than I once did. How about you, friend? You know more about God? Are you glad to be in the house of God? Are you glad to learn about Him this morning? Are you glad the church has been here 77 years? Are you glad that you've been a part of this church and you're a vital link to the ministry here? Are you concerned about the work of God? The Bible said in Colossians 2, we are complete in Him. We don't have any other need. God will take care of us. He will meet our need as a sovereign God. He's given us the Word of God to cling to the promises of God, the surety of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, when you face trouble, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He shows us we are enabled by Him. We have the divine provision of God. We have the divine power of God. Verse 14, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. How do we know what God can do? How do we know? Brother Tom, how do we know what God's like? The Bible, amen? We know because the Word of God's been given to us, and God is able to put it in any language for any people. Everybody is saved the same way by grace through faith. Doesn't matter where you live, what affluence you have or lack of affluence, what your education is or otherwise, we all get saved the same way by the grace of God. And He says, I want you to know that the divine nature has been given to you. You've been imputed the righteousness of God. You're a vital link to the ministry of God. You've been furnished with all the bestowal of the great promises of God, the truth of God. And it says back there in verse number 3, He's given us that pertains to life and to godliness. You don't want to know how to live? This tells you how to live life right here. This tells you how to be godly right here. It lets us know exactly what we need to do as servants of God. You say, well, I just don't know if I should read the Bible or if I should follow it. That's how we live. Being directed by the Holy Spirit of God, we have been given these divine promises. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He believed what God said. He said, you stay here. The lad and I will go and worship, and we shall return. The same seed of promise promised by God to Abraham when Isaac was born, when Isaac got old, he knew that Isaac was the seed of promise, and somehow, some way, if he took his son's life, God had the power to raise him from the dead. He just believed God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You say, well, I don't know if I could live that way, Brother Pearson. That's how we all live. The just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have what we've been given, the divine promises of God. Acts 2, 38 and 39 says, then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, and even as many of our Lord God shall call. Whosoever shall hear the word of God can be saved. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. He furnishes us with the divine nature and the promises of God and the Word of God. We have victory in Jesus. We've been given the armor of God. We have the power of God. We have the Word of God to declare. We have the Word of God to live by. We've been given so many blessings, church. What a great joy in knowing we have the exceeding precious promises of God. And preachers like your pastor that will preach it on Sunday. And missionaries will come in and teach and go to foreign countries that you can send missionaries around the world and give your dollars and so help support that boys and girls and moms and dads will be saved all around the world. The same way you got saved. We've been bestowed that in our spiritual life. But notice also he said something else, which is kind of unique, verse number 4. By the divine, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. He said after you get saved, your life is changed. You escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. That means we ought to have a sanctified life. So we not only have the furnishings, we have fruit. The fruit that will manifest itself in a unique way. A sanctified life, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. John 17, 17 says, Jesus speaking through John, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I hope that your pastor and myself and other men of God, as we stand here, give you the truth. Give you the word of God. Whatever God says, go with it. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. What God is saying, we're to grow up spiritually. We're to manifest a sanctified life. We're to make sure that we know that after we got saved, how are we supposed to live? The Word of God tells us how we're supposed to live. The Holy Spirit of God directs us how we're supposed to live. And listen to me, the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Bible. Never. He will always direct you down the right path. So we've been given this opportunity for fruit. The separated life is what we need to live. We've been sanctified by God through His divine nature. We're to have a separated life, escaping the corruption that's in the world. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things you would. You ever face the issue of saying, I don't want to do that, but you give into it? Don't raise your hand. Paul said, those things that I would not do, that do I. He understood there's a warfare going on. In our life that we live, the flesh says, do this, and the Spirit says, no, do this. You'll have blessings here. Romans 8:12-14, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, reckon as dead, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Make no mistake about it, my friend. God will not lead you contrary to His Word. The Holy Ghost of God will always lead you according to the direction of the precious promises of God to give you fruit. One of my favorite verses in 2 Corinthians is chapter 7, verse number 1. Which relates to this thought, letting us know, having therefore these promises, the Word of God given to us, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the Spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Listen, I had a fear for my father. When I disobeyed as a child, and my mother would say, you wait till your father gets home. Now, I would rejoice if I was obedient. But when I heard those, wait till your father gets home, I was usually disobedient and facing judgment. The Bible says we have exceeding great and precious promises given to us. We are to cleanse ourselves. How do you do that? You know what's right. You know what's wrong. Cleanse yourself. When you take a shower, our children, God gave us four children, and as they were growing up, we'd say, you need to take your shower. They'd take their shower, or they'd take a bath. We'd say, did you use any shampoo? No, I couldn't find any. There's got to be a cleansing agent, otherwise you're just getting wet. We have a lot of folks just getting wet when it comes to religion. And religion is chasing a lot of people down the wrong path. What we need is righteousness. God says, I have bestowed to you the basics of spiritual life. The bestowal of spiritual life is seen, and I want to admonish you to follow after me. He said, I will furnish you with fruit. I will bless you in your life. I will help you to be plugged in as a vital part of the ministry if you'll follow my path. He says in verse number 5, and beside this, so he's saying, once you've received this righteousness, once you understand you have provision of God, once you understand that you're alive in Christ, once you understand that you've been given this divine provision for spiritual growth, you have the divine promises of God to guide you, but you can have divine manifestation of fruit. You say, well, how does it happen? It doesn't just happen. You have to work at it. You see, God saved you. God gave you His Word. But you need to be involved. Look at verse number 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And we go right down the list here. Let me ask you a question. Who's the subject of this sentence? We are. It's you understood. In the context there, he's talking about the beloved. He said, you are to add to your faith. You are to have diligence. You are to be concerned about it. How can you cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the Spirit unless you do it? You have to make the choice. The cleansing agent is the blood of the Lamb, but you must choose it. You must follow. So there are requirements for spiritual growth. You must have a personal desire. You must have all diligence. Do you want to grow in the Lord? You want God to help you spiritually? You want to be a better witness? Want to be bold for the cause of Christ? We have not because we ask not. God will help us. He's enabled us with the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us His promises. We just need His help. And we need to say, with all diligence, not just getting by, but with all diligence, no excuses. You say, well, I'm a little bit older, Brother Pearson, than you are. Caleb was 85 years old, and he said, I want that mountain. He'd been in Hebron before. He'd seen that mountain. He wanted more. He wanted to accomplish those things. And so let's make sure we're still fighters until the end. Oh, I don't mean against the pastor. I mean for the Lord, amen? I mean serving Him. But there must be a personal desire, understood that we're following Him. There must be a passionate diligence. It says, giving all diligence. If you have a desire to do something, that's one thing, but be diligent. Listen, if I want to lose weight, I have to not just think about it. I have to participate in trying to do it. I could be dealing, say, I'm going to pray about losing weight. Well, that's wonderful. But you do your part, God will do His. Amen. We have to invest. There's got to be some diligence for it. Colossians 1, 28 and 29, Paul said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor. He said, I labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. You know what he's saying? I'm making no excuses. If God puts somebody in my place, I want to tell them about the Lord. If God has me in prison, I want to speak up for Him about the Lord. Wherever God places me, wherever He puts me, I want to labor to serve the Lord, to follow Him. Philippians 3:13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. What's he say I do? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I don't want to just get by. I want to have diligence. I want to work. I want to labor. I want to have passionate diligence to serve the Lord. And then have the proper disposition. Not become popular in your own mind or brag on your own self, but realize God is the one who enables us. He is the one who helps us. It says, add to your faith. You have faith in God to be saved? Amen. We're to add to our faith. What are you going to add to it? He gives us some dispositions we should add to our lives. Very quickly, I'll go through them. Virtue. Add to your faith, virtue. Virtue is basically moral excellence and godly character. You'll find it in the Bible. How to have moral excellence and godly character. He reveals that to us. It's needed that we have these things in our life. We need to have this virtue of being involved that way. We need to have knowledge, it says. Add to your faith, to virtue, knowledge. A heart of moral excellence is knowledge. Specifically, knowledge of God's truth, which serves as the foundation that gives us discernment and wisdom for the future. God will not confuse us. He'll show us plain in His Word how we're supposed to live. Take the knowledge of God and apply it. As I told you in Sunday school, there's a manual in your car. We normally pull it out when we have an issue or we have a problem. We have a manual to guide our lives. We have the divine nature of God, the divine provision of God, the divine power of God, the Holy Spirit living in us. We have His promises. May God help us to be fruitful in the work of the Lord. 77 years, God's blessed the work. Souls have been saved. Lives have been changed. Ups and downs, as Pastor said, along the way perhaps. But God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, willing to help us. He said there's got to be temperance. Add to your knowledge temperance. Temperance means holding oneself in when you feel like exploding. Holding oneself in. It's a word that speaks of self-discipline or self-restraint over the cravings and lust of the body. Spiritually minded, mature people are growing in personal discipline and self-control. We need that spiritually, do we not, church? May God help us. Add to your temperance patience. Patience means to bear up under, to remain strong when things are going bad. You bear up under those things. You remain under it. It means to persevere, to continue on in hardship and in difficulty. Listen, there may be some hard years in 77 years of Calvary Baptist Church. There may be some hard days in your own personal walk with God, but you're still saved, aren't you? And even though you face adversity and physical issues and spiritual dilemmas, and you face worry and fret and heartache, God's still God. His Word is still true. He wants to manifest His fruit into your life. He said, add to patience godliness. That means be God-like in what you're doing. Have the attitude of reverence. Seek to please God rather than self. Do what the Savior wants, not what your desire is. Following after Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul said, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. 1 Timothy 4:7, exercise thyself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Didn't say it didn't profit at all. Said it profiteth little. He said, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of this life that now is, and of that which is to come. He's saying that God has something in store for you in the future if you live godly in the present. You'll have fruit that will manifest itself. Brotherly kindness. Now, these are things in the church. Remember now, Brother Pastor, he's trying to show us that there are people that are false teachers. 2 Peter, false teachers. He said, I'll show you what a real Christian looks like. Therefore, you'll know what a false one is. Well, Andrew, that's the same thing. We'll know what is right, what's counterfeit. So he's trying to show us exactly what's found in the Word of God here. Trying to relate to us that we can see brotherly kindness. This is the Greek word Philadelphia, brotherly love. So he's talking about we should make a difference. We should understand that we are in the same spiritual family. We've got to have unity and love and joy for each other. Understanding the things of God. Being faithful. Hebrews says, let brotherly love continue. That means it's got to start somewhere, but it needs to continue. He says this brotherly kindness. You say, well, I love everybody. Well, that's great. But at the same time, he says he goes a step further. And the last verse there, he talks about in verse 7, and to brotherly kindness, charity. That's the word agape.
That means unconditional love. Love that is given out is called charity. The greatest of the dispositions. 1 Corinthians 13, there's a whole chapter about it. The greatest of these is charity. You know what charity is? It's not just saying you love someone, it's proving it. It's manifesting, it's demonstrating it in love, in word, in deed, and in truth. Let me ask you a question. Did God say He loved you? Did He prove it? He demonstrated that love. He manifested that love in sending His Son to the world. There was fruit that came of that. You and I are saved today by the grace of God. We've been imputed the righteousness of God. We have the divine nature living in us. We have the Word of God to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to direct us into our life for Him, to be faithful to the things of God. And He says, you need to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. And He said, if you're growing in grace and knowledge, you'll have the blessings of God in your life. And you'll know that God's in you and that you'll be able to be directed by God to have that boldness that you need. But He goes on to say in verse 8, 9, and 10, these words, and we're done. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're understanding who God is, you're in His Word, you're adding to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and He begins to talk about all these things that you're adding, and it's up to you to do that, because you're the subject. If you add that, He said, you'll not be barren or unfruitful. Who wants to have a garden that's barren? Who wants to have a garden that's unfruitful? He said, I want to bless Calvary Baptist Church. Calvary Baptist Church is not this building. Calvary Baptist Church are the born-again believers that are gathering here today. Thank God for your faithfulness. Thank God that everybody in this room is saved the same way. No matter who we are, where we've come from, we're saved by the grace of God. Our life ought to manifest the fruit of God. We ought to manifest the grace of the Lord in our lives, living for Him, honoring Him, obeying Him. He said, if you follow these things, you're growing in the Lord, your life will be different. You will know what a real Christian looks like. And He says, you'll not be barren or unfruitful. Verse number 9. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. He's not talking about physical blindness. He's talking about spiritual blindness. He says, what you're doing is you're wrapped up in yourself. You're wrapped up in your own desires. You're wrapped up in your own will. And He says, what you need to understand is that God's divine nature was imparted to you. I came for one purpose, Christ said, to die for the world. You accepted Him as a Savior. Now you're part of His life. And He said, now I've got work for you to do. Greater work shall ye do than I have done. You need to go out there and you need to manifest the grace of God. You need to live out Christ in your life. Not because you're better than them, you're saved by His grace. But you want to be of effect to God. You want to do your very best to honor the Lord. But He said, if you don't do these things and you're not adding in your spiritual life, you're stagnating your spiritual life. You're backsliding. Can I say it like that in your spiritual life? He said, you're blind. You're spiritually blind. You cannot see afar off. Listen, you're saved still, but spiritually you can't see afar off. Your heart is not in tune with God the way it ought to be. You can still have a harp, but it needs to be in tune. You can have a guitar, but it needs to be in tune. He said, you need to be in tune for God. He said, you need to see spiritually. See the need. Thank God you can see the need in other countries. Amen, missionaries. Thank God you can see the need here in this community, across the street, and around the world. Thank God that we have that. It's God that gives us that fruit in our lives. But He said, if you don't see it, here's what happens. Verse number 9. You have forgotten that He was purged from His old sins. I hate to say this, but there are people that can be saved and not do anything for God. But I'd like to be saved and do something for God. Not that I have another notch in my belt or I've done something spectacular, but that I'm being faithful to the things God's given me to do. I want to have the desire to say, I'm going to keep faithful in my work. I'm going to keep honoring God. I want to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It started with Joshua. It started with Dad. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He let it be known at that time that he had been changed by the grace of God. He understood the calling of God upon his life. And God calls every one of us to a different lot of life. But we're all servants of God. Verse number 1. We've all been saved the same way. We all have the same Bible. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same enabling. We have the same grace. We have the same power, but we don't have the same fruit. That's up to you. Add to your faith. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Be in the house of God. Be together. Love one another. Have unity and harmony and blessing. Don't forget what Christ has done for you. Grow up in the Lord. Grow in knowledge. Continue on. Verse 10, he says, Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. He's saying, listen, we can look around and judge people. We can look around and say, well, I don't know if they're saved or not. But he said, make sure you are. Make sure you've searched your heart. Do you have God living in you? It's not because you were born in the church. It's not because your dad was the pastor of the church. It's not because that your dad's the pastor now of the church and these little children are going to be going to heaven because of that. No, every person must be born again into the kingdom of God. For 77 years, you've had men of God stand here and proclaim the same promises, the same truth.
The same Savior. Amen. But the fruit is different.
Yeah.
You're a vital link to the ministry of the service of God here in this place.
Amen.
Wherever He plants you, remember it's God that planted you there.
Yeah.
And God wants you to grow. He wants you to be fruitful, not barren.
Right.
He wants you to grow in grace and in knowledge. Yeah. You may not win people to the Lord continually, but some plant, some water, but God brings forth the increase.
Yes.
Invite somebody to church. Pray for those that are sick. Help yourself in the work of God. Be faithful to encourage one another. Smile. Call someone that missed a church service. Touch them in some way. Be like Paul was in the time of his ministry in prison. Titus went off and he went and he encouraged the people. Brought back a letter to the Apostle Paul. And Paul's life was touched by Titus. And Titus' life was touched by Paul and the church that he went to visit. And he came back and told Paul what happened. And so Paul began to tell everybody and Titus began to tell everybody about the wonderful grace of God. The Titus touch. Years ago, it was the Midas touch. Amen. Now we got the Titus touch in the Bible. We are servants of God. Listen, be fruitful. Abound in the work of God. Keep going. 78 years, if the Lord hadn't come back, be here.
Amen.
Be faithful.
Amen.
Honor God. Do the best you can with what God's given you and bring glory to Him.
Amen.
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, make your calling of election sure. Make sure you give diligence to say, I know that I'm saved. And I want to make sure if there's something broken or something fixed, I'll get out the manual and I'll find out what the issue is and I'll get closer to God.
Amen.
Where are you, friends? The next step is yours.
Good.
Are you saved? If you're not saved, you can take it. We can take a Bible. The pastor, his wife, somebody can take a Bible day and show you how to be saved.
Yep.
If you are saved today, are you adding things to your faith? How's your knowledge? How's your charity? How's your temperance? How's your love? We are enabled by the grace of God and the Word of God to have what we need.
Amen.
Maybe we have lack of patience, lack of temperance, whatever it might be. There's a difference between the counterfeit and the real. I want to be like Coca-Cola, the real thing.
Amen.
Even beyond that, amen.
Amen.
I want to be what God wants me to be,
amen.
For His honor,
amen.
For His glory.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Before I pray this morning, I'd like to ask this question. If you're here and you know for certain there's been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, you're not ashamed to say that, would you raise your hand right now into the air? Thank God for the many hands that were raised. You may put your hand down. If you could not raise your hand, I'd like to ask this question. Would you be willing to let us pray for you? You are not certain you could raise your hand as a Christian, you'd let us pray for you that you might know who God is before it's eternally too late. Young or old today, you know you're not saved, but you'd like to learn more about this Savior that loves you so much. We'd be glad to pray for you. Anybody like that that would realize that they need Christ today and they need to be saved? What a great day it would be to receive the Lord as Savior. Anybody like that? Just show me your hand if you would and I'll pray for you. All right, you that are here as believers, I do not know your lot of life. I do not know the link that you have to this church. I don't even know if you're a member of the church or not. But you know, and you know where you are spiritually. And let me ask you, are you being that servant you ought to be? Are you doing your very best for God? Are we growing in the knowledge of the Lord? Are we faithful to the house of God as much as we can be? Are we in His Word and are we praying to God and communing with Him the way we should? It's up to us, friends, to do that or to add to our faith. Maybe there's something that God spoke to you about today and you say, Brother Pearson, there's something that was challenging me today from the Word of God. And I need to add to my faith, and I pray you'd pray for me that I would have that strength and the faith to continue on and those things that I need to pray for that God would enable me through His grace to have those things I should to bear fruit that would manifest God's glory and power in my life. Anybody like that? Honest enough to say, Pastor, pray for me. I have needs in these areas. I see a hand. Yes, hands everywhere. Many going up right now. Anybody else? Just up and back down. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Pray for me. Listen, if you're doing a good job, keep up the good work. If you're being faithful to God and there's fruit that is there, keep it up. But if you've fallen short or you've been spoken to by God this day, we need to humble our heart, bow a knee, do what we can to commune with God and let Him take care of the problem. Father, I pray that you'll help men, women, and boys and girls today to listen to your voice. Many have raised their hands about needs they have today. And God, I pray you'd help them to be able to give their petition to you. And that you'd be able to enable them to have the power and strength and the grace of God to step out and to see your victory. I know, Father, that you're an enabler, and I pray, God, you'd help us to be faithful to the work. I pray, God, for each and every member of this church, God, that you'd help them to realize the link they are to the work, and they do their very best to be strong and faithful to do the work you've called them out to do. Bless now, God, the invitation time. Give Pastor wisdom and discernment to close out the service. Help us, Father, to respond appropriately. According to your will, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Stand if you would, please, as Pastor comes.